Exodus 15, verse 24. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. What's bitter water? What's another way of saying bitter water? What's the meaning of bitter water? But salt water. Like they came to the sea water, and it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And he cried, and the Lord showed him a tree. Wait a minute, we've got a water problem, and the Lord shows us a tree. Yes. You have a marriage problem, the Lord shows you a church. You have a health problem, God shows you the Bible. You have a relationship problem, money problem, God shows you the tree. What tree? The cross. Christ was crucified on a tree. The waters are bitter. The waters are salt water. You cannot drink them. But then God showed Moses a tree. What did he do with it? It says, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters. You see, life isn't only your circumstances. Life, we have our circumstances, but what do you cast in to the waters? What do you cast into your badness that's happening to you? You know, sometimes we feel like, Lord, change the waters. And the Lord says, I want to show you a tree. I want to show you my way. My way is not your way. My way. Okay. Here's a couple thoughts to start. And it is, here's a person, and I'm talking, as we're singing and worshiping, I'm thinking of you guys, and I'm trying to, like, understand you, pray for you, and help you. I want to help you, because I understand that life is spiritual, that we were born again. You are born again, child of God. Some of you may doubt it. Like some of you might say, yeah, I know, but, and we all have our lives, but I am happy to say that we are listening to God's word. And this is what really makes a difference between, us and others. Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Where he will provide. But it may not be a pile of money. You might say, you know what? If we'll solve all my problems, if I have a pile of money, I throw money at all my problems and it's over. Problems are gone. The Lord says, no. You need a tree. You need a tree in your life. Cast the tree into the waters. So we'll see that in a minute here. Let's look at this little picture. We are idolaters. Okay, here's an idol is, so I'll draw an idol here. It's something created that I have a lot of value on it. I put a lot of value on it, and it can be a good thing. Like a child that was up here in the arms of the parents. A child can be an idol. And so the idea is, and this is only a kind of a trying, I'm trying to draw a picture to give the idea, but picture's not perfect, believe me. But you can put your love on a thing and go into it and possess it. You really have it. You possess this thing that you love so much. You love it so much. Your job, your career, you love it so much. Your family, your life, the way you are, your friends. We are idolaters. We put a lot of love on the things that are valuable to us and things that we love. But here's the lesson. When you have God, and you have the love, God radically he saved you. He gave you a new nature. He gave you a new heart. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Now you have love that goes to God, okay? And it's very much, and you can't love both with the same. You cannot have your heart on your child. I say this to my wife, and she knows this well. I don't love you first. I love you second. Why? Because she's not my idol. She cannot have my life, my whole life, my mind, soul, and strength. And she's not worthy of that. Anything, these are all created things. These are the things that are created. My wife is created. And myself is created. And people can idolize themselves, idolize their loved ones, idolize their life. But you and I have been delivered from that. We have been born again, and our love is on God. God has set us free from idolatry. That's a blessing for my wife. What if she was number one? I loved her with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and she's my God. What's that put? What position does that put her in? She has to be my God? I mean, she has to be, like, not be there. She has to be there for me all the time. She has to somehow make me happy, somehow satisfy me. What a bondage for her and for me. You are not made to be an idolater. You are made to be a worshiper of God and have no other gods before you. And that's where your life changes and you find yourself spirit-filled. Then I love my wife and say, I love you. I love you with God's love very much. Very much. And if you ever fail me, no problem. I love you. I can forgive you. No problem. You see, when your water supply goes bad, what are you going to do about it? When your idol goes bad, what are you going to do about it? When the thing you love so much dies, when the thing that you are building your life on collapses, what are you going to do about it, right? So there's the answer. God provided a tree. And Moses could say, I don't need a tree. And the Lord said, you need a tree. Yeah, we say, I don't need that. I need an answer for my problem. The Lord says, no, this is your answer. Follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. I will speak to your heart. Follow me. I'll put love in your heart. And love will change your life. I put love, my love, in your heart. And my Holy Spirit will live in you. And by the Holy Spirit, you will find a new kind of freedom. A deep joy and a peace in your heart. When the water is bad, when you are in trouble in the hospital, when you get a bad phone call, and I'm sorry to say those kind of things, but at the same time, why not say them? Jesus said them in John 16:33. These words I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I have overcome the world. Wow, beautiful. Okay, so I would like to say that picture could go like this instead. It goes like this, I think. Here is you, and now you are a worshiper of God, and you are in the heart of God. And you know God. And so then, what about this world? What about your child and your family? I say, I love them and I hold them loosely. I love them. I am part of their life. by they're not controlling me and I'm not controlling them. I'm an advisor, I'm a helper, I pray for them and I love them. But it's not possessiveness, it's liberty. You hold the things of this life loosely. That's why when it says when we pray with uplifted arms and our hands are open. Because we're not clutching on life. We've given up our life to God. And God returns back to us our life. And now we're able to manage our life much better. We're able to let something go. We're able to forgive somebody. We're able to say, I love you and I'm praying for you. We are able to handle life a lot better when it doesn't control us. But God is in our hearts, and now with God we live in this world, and we're able to take the tree and cast it into the water. Let's close with that part. It says there, the waters were made sweet, verse 25, Exodus 15. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Okay. So now let's turn to Romans chapter 8 for our message that relates to this. So do you see what I mean by this? I think you got it. The world we are in, we are able to leave something alone. We're able to touch something. We're able to be responsible for it. We do the best we can, but we walk with God, and we can walk away from things. We can be free from them. Okay, Romans 8 and verse. Let's pray for a moment. Yes, Lord. We just want to help people today by your Spirit and speak to our hearts, Lord. Guide and govern our lives, Lord. There are people here, precious brothers and sisters, who are walking in this life and they are looking for answers. We ask you to use our church to minister to each one and help them find this way, this new way. In Christ's name, amen. So we were in Hungary a week ago in Budapest, and what a awesome, beautiful time we had, and I have a notebook here where I took down notes from different speakers. Maybe you saw it online. We also had private meetings with different leaders, and we emphasized again and again that there's a tree that you can cast into your trouble, and it can be changed, because God is like that. He is the one. So in the next weeks, I want to bring some of the lessons to your mind. And Wednesday night, we started on submission, and we spoke about how important it is to be submitted to God, first of all. So if you put here this word submission, and you have the hupotasso is the Greek word, military word for being submitted under in rank. You have rank in the military, and when somebody is submitted under an authority that is over them. And of course, you have to find that authority to be submitted to. And of course, this is Christ, God. He is teaching us that in the Trinity. We have the Father is the authority administratively, though the Father the Son, the Holy Spirit, all are three persons in one God. Beautiful thought. Three persons in one God with love and humility. The Father is the head of Christ, and the Christ and the Father, they send the Holy Spirit into your heart. And the Holy Spirit in you, you are submitted to God as a worshiper. So this is an order that's outlined in 1 Corinthians 11 and important in your life to be submitted. Because you are submitted to God, then the and because the Spirit does that in your heart, then you have authority. There's an authority in your life. Here you are, and now you have the God's authority that is in your life. What kind of authority is it? It's an authority to love. It's an authority to be a servant, authority to forgive, authority to be submitted to one another. For a man to be submitted, 1 Corinthians 16:16, Paul said to be submitted to the men that were with him, the team that he had. And we are submitted to elders and leaders in the church, Hebrews 13:17. Also to the civil authorities, 1 Peter 2:13. And we did that during COVID as much as we possibly could, with the spirit of submission and honor to the authorities, which was a confusing time. That would be another message. But believe me, submission is important. Not as in the military, yes, but this is deeper. This is love. Love touches you. It's easy to be submitted in love and truth. This is a great subject. It is easy to be submitted to somebody that's very thankful. Like when my wife and I, we have a beautiful marriage, and I'm very thankful for it. One of the things that helps me, I know, is that she's a very thankful person. She's very thankful for things. And I am also, I learned that. I am to be thankful. It's like hard to argue with somebody who is thankful. It's hard to argue and not submitted, but to be like, I'm not going to submit to him or her. I don't like the way they think. I don't like how they talk. I have an opinion about it, and how easy it is for marriages to fall apart because they lack this spiritual element of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do you get it? But by being submitted to God. God loves humility. Maybe I can get back to this in a minute. I'll put down here the authority word because we didn't cover that, but we'll come back to it. All right, so the best example of submission was with Christ. When he was here in the world, he was submitted to the Father all the time. He always did what he saw his Father do. He listened to the Father. He was perfect without sin. He was pleasing the Father all the time. And you might say, well, that's him, that's not me. No, wait a minute. Yes, that's true. But he left us here in his stead. This is 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. We are here in, these are big words. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are here in Christ's stead. Or what does that mean? We are here in his place. God has sent us into the world to be here because he isn't here. Jesus is gone. And he sent us. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Can you imagine that we've been sent into this world and to be here in Christ's place. So we have a vertical relationship with God. You have been, I like this phrase, radicalized. We'll preach a message on that sometimes soon, within this week, I think. Radicalized. Meaning, a Christian is not just a nice guy that becomes a nicer guy, and he just lives by the Bible and he's a nice guy. No, that's not. Being a Christian is, I have sinned. I'm not actually a nice guy. Deep in my heart, I've got issues. I'm a worshiper of other things. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but come on. What the world needs is just a bunch of nice people. And God is saying, you don't know the gospel. You're worse than you can imagine, and you need a new birth, regeneration, by believing in my Son. Through that new birth, he radicalizes your life. You become a worshiper of God, not a worshiper of your family. You become a worshiper of God, not a worshiper of yourself. You are spirit-filled. And God sent you in this world to be an ambassador. That's from another country, far away, heaven, sent here to have a message of love in this world. So this radicalized life means nothing is more important to us than him. We have found him. He has found us. He indwells us. We have the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God is love and joy and peace. Sometimes I may not feel that love and that joy and that peace or know it, not feel it, but I might not realize it or recognize it or might not even have it because I'm carnally minded. So this is the text, Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Do you see that? Okay, 2 Corinthians, no, Romans 8, 5. Flesh. Sarx, Greek word. Sin nature. Old sin nature. That's all that it means. We mind the things of our sin nature. We worry a lot. We have fears. Remember when Adam sinned, one of the first things that happened was he lost God. When he lost God, he hid himself, right? He hid himself, and then God says, Adam, where are you? And when he finds him, what happened? God says to him, what happened? And then he immediately goes to the woman. The woman, you remember the woman? You gave me. What's this? What's the implication? Have you sinned, Adam? He didn't admit it. The woman you gave me, like you gave me her, and this is what happened. Why? Because the flesh, the sin nature, has a very hard time of being open and transparent and honest. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of how wrong we are and to be really direct with God, really answerable to God, to be honest. That's why when we read this book and you have to learn to read this slowly, prayerfully and let it go. Speak to your spirit. Because John 6:63, my words, they are spirit and they are life. That's what I saw in Hungary. And this wasn't just Hungarians, but this was like from 50 different countries people came. And I saw in the room the great worship and the beautiful spirit, the spirit of God. And if you were to talk to every one of those 1,000 people or how many it was there, if you were to sit down and be with them, you would have fellowship with God. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Fellowship with God in the Spirit of God. Because when we learn to walk with God in a personal way, we learn to be submitted to each other and look for Christ amongst us, to discern Christ, to see Christ, to hear Christ in the fellowship. And it's different from the world. The world can't do it. They have the United Nations, they have conferences and everything, but it's not this. It's not this. This is body life. This is the Spirit of God giving us direction. The world says the water is bad. The water is bad. We can't do anything about it. It's seawater. There's no answer. We've been brought out here to die. There's no solution to our problem. There's nowhere to go. My troubles are increasing. I'm in a lot of trouble. I don't know what to do. I have no answer. But the spiritual person goes, God, you know, I'm here. What do you have? What do you have to say to me? Your name is Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. You will provide. What will you give me? And he says, a tree. Okay, a tree. That's the answer. A tree is the answer. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. You give me the answer for my life. You are God. You give me what I need. And then he says, take it and throw it in the water. Throw it in the water. It's different. That's a spiritual person, isn't it? That's what the Spirit wants to say to us. But I used to do this when I was sitting where you are sitting. I used to say, well, these people are, they're great people, but I am not. They have problems, but they don't have the problem I got. They don't understand me. They don't know. And then I talk about myself. And I would just live like that. And then you can go away and never come back to the church. Because you say, there's nothing there for me. They don't know my problem. They don't know what I've got. They don't know what I'm dealing with. And I'm saying to all of us, wait. There's an answer here. There's an answer for you. The Spirit wants to say something to you. Their spirit will lead you. Jesus' way is not the way of the world. Jesus' way is, look at back at this. I'll show you something. This one. When I'm an idolater and I love deeply these things, then when they go bad, I might say, I just got to get another one. And I'll love that deeply. When you lose that, you just say, I got to get another one. Another way of saying it, I love to live in Florida. When I live in Florida and after a couple of years it goes bad, I got to go to California. I just get another one. I might say that what I thought it would be, it never became what I thought it would be. I just have to change it. Now, this is a definition of a fool. He cannot come to the end of himself and realize it's not Florida, California. It's not my wife. It's not my empty life. It's not my empty career. It's something deeper. Where is God? I need God in my life. Where is God? And you come over here and you and I have to be serious about it.
And I mean, that's why Paul writes about fasting and prayers often. Fasting is when you're pretty serious about something, because like food is important to me. I don't know about you. I don't like going without food. I don't. I like to eat. I like, just don't like the feeling of being hungry all the time. I don't like that, so I eat. How about you? Huh? Okay. Imagine being so serious that you stop everything and you say to God, I am serious. I need an answer. Could you fill me with your spirit? I know you say you do, but I need something going on in my heart. I need a fresh relationship with you. I need you to move me in my heart. I need love in my life. I haven't had joy for a long time. I'm very good at complaining and arguing with people and proving myself right, but I am coming to you, God, and I'm quiet. I am quiet before you, and I ask you to show me and speak to me and show me the tree, if that's the answer. Like, show me something, not the way man does it, but show me the way you do it. And the Lord does. And when that happens, you get excited about it. It's spiritual. I love to be in a church where it's spiritual. I love to be in a church where people have discovered the Bible in a fresh way. I love to be in a church where young people are excited about Jesus and older people are excited about Jesus again and again, and they find it, they believe in it. And then when Jesus is at the center and God is right there with us in our hearts, then we're able to manage all these things that we are part of. We kind of hold them lightly. You know, I think of a person spinning a basketball on their finger and they just have it and they hit the ball. You know how they do it. And they're just spinning plates or spinning basketball. And it's like, it just has to be like a balancing thing and a chemistry, but it's like if you grab it and hold it, that's a different thing. But spinning it is a different thing. And your life is like a different thing. The way you relate to life, the way you handle your problems, the way you forgive people, it's a different thing. It's not the flesh. It's different. It's the spirit. Even enjoying your recreation, you handle it in a different way. Even eating food, you eat, you are enjoying the food, but it's a different thing. It's not controlling you. It's like you're able to manage your life, like going to work, and you enjoy it. Like it's a different thing because you are walking in the Spirit of God. Okay, turn to Romans 8, and we'll just finish up here. It's verse 5. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. By the way, I don't know what attracts you on your phone, but the advertising and all the stuff that goes on and the girls in bathing suits and the things that go on and all the stuff, what fascinates you? What grabs your attention? What is the thing that appeals to your heart? It might be the things of the flesh, because the world, that's how they operate. And they that are in the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. They are attracted to those things. But is it possible to be drawn to something else? Is it possible to be drawn to another mind, another fascination, another thing that interests you, that draws you in your faith to love and purity and honesty and integrity and humility? Is it possible? I'm not saying that these things are what we embrace by a mechanical recipe. I'm saying the Holy Spirit is in you and you have an attraction to that. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, but they that are after the Spirit, you are drawn to the things of the Spirit. Let's run an experiment. Let's live by faith this week. If we walk by faith, we'll be attracted to the things of the Spirit, who says, walk by faith. Pray by faith. Trust me by faith. Be kind by faith. Be thankful for everything and do it by faith. In everything, give thanks. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. It really is a miserable way of living, carnally minded. You are worried about things you shouldn't be worried about. You're afraid of things that have never even happened. You have a carnal mind. You make excuses for things that you shouldn't even be. Just be honest and it goes away. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend. You are carnally minded. You're worried about what people think of you. You and I are worried of likes and dislikes, or what people say, or what they think about you, or something that a lie about you. I told a brother in Hungary, I said, a young preacher went to an old preacher, and he said to the old preacher, he said, they're lying about me. They're lying about me. What should I do? And the old preacher said, here, take this pillow, go outside and open it up. So he went outside, he opened it up, and the feathers went everywhere. And the young preacher goes back inside, I did it. And the old preacher said, now go back out there and pick up all those feathers. Go ahead, go out there and pick them up. So he went outside, and they were everywhere. They were gone and so on. And he said, no, I cannot do it. He said, the same thing with tracking down lies. You cannot correct them. The carnal mind says, it's not fair. It's not fair. The spiritual mind says, I know it's not fair, but I have a tree for you. If you have a tree, the tree, if you have my mind, if you know my spirit, if you are a worshiper of me, then you can throw that in that water and your life changes. You have an answer for your life. Trust me. Wow. Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you worry about the people that have advantage over you? Are you worried about the people that are in control of your life? Somebody said, that man ruined my life. And we, Pastor Lange and I have this thing where he said it, I don't know, many years ago, but you cannot give somebody that kind of authority. He ruined my life. You cannot give that to somebody who steals your money or affects your health or ruins your family. You cannot say, that man ruined my life. You're giving a man the authority and you're saying what you can't say. Because life is bigger than that man, that evil man. Isn't it? Who's bigger than the evil man? Who's bigger than him? God. God did that. God is in it. Is God in it? God is in it. He is. God, you might as well say, God ruined my life. But I don't dare say God ruined my life. So what should I say? I cannot say God ruined my life. I got to say, this is the life that God gave me. And God gave me hearing ears. God gave me a walk with him. And I'm submitted to God. And Lord, if now's the time my life is over, then so be it. I worship you. Blessed be your name. But do you have anything to say to me? He said, I'll show you a tree. I'll show you something that the world doesn't know about. And I want you to bring that tree and put that in where that you say that man ruined your life. No, he didn't. He cannot ruin your life. I'm the only one. And I've decided in my own heart that that will never happen. Because all things that happen to you, all of them work together for good. And I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and an expected end in Jeremiah 29:13. And I am for you. I am for you. And I say, Lord, what's the proof that you are for me? And he said, I gave you my son. And if I did not spare my own son, how will I not with him freely give you all things? And now we're getting in the spirit. Now I'm listening to what the spirit is saying. The other way is a carnal mind. He ruined my life. But this other one is a spiritual mind where I understand who God is and what God is saying to me. Isn't it true? Okay, I have to finish here. We have a great need because in the spirit you have a capacity to be reconciled to people, to ask for forgiveness. You have a great capacity to just be honest and direct because you have God in your life and have the Spirit of God. And I have this story I read at the 9 o'clock service, which kind of illustrates that. And if you want to hear it in a little different version, you can listen online to the 9 o'clock service, but because we're running out of time, I just want to finish with this. In Matthew 5:23-24, if your brother, you go to God, you go to the altar with a gift, you want to give the gift to God, and there at the altar, I remember my brother has something against me. So I leave my gift at the altar and I go be reconciled to my brother. And then I come back and I worship God, you know, because I have something in my heart that I need to deal with my brother. I want to be reconciled to my brother. So this woman in New England rocked an audience with laughter at the same time it shook their consciences, and the story goes this way. She and her neighbor hated each other like poison. The point of contention was the neighbor's ducks, which used to get into her garden to spoil it. One day she found her opportunity. She put all the ducks into a cement-weighted bag and dropped them into the river. Later she became spiritually changed. One day in the quiet hour, those ducks came up in her mind. So let me make that clear. The woman got rid of the ducks. Sorry about that for all of us who are sensitive about that. I know that. Okay, but that's the way people are sometimes. And then she got changed by Christ. Christ changed her life. And it came up in her mind in her quiet time that she should tell her neighbor. So she would have to confess. Her response was, "Now, Lord, this is carrying things too far. I'd be ruined if I confessed that." One day when the neighbor was on the lawn, she started trembling toward her. She managed to blurt out the truth, told the whole story. The neighbor's jaw dropped. "My heavens, I always wondered what happened to those ducks." The woman volunteered to pay for the ducks, but the neighbor said she was just as responsible. The whole matter was buried. They are wonderful friends now. The subject of ducks is never mentioned. Restitution often comes before restoration. You know, I don't know. You might say, you know, I don't know how you think about these things, but they happen. They're in our lives. And, you know, when we live before people, we have a carnal mind. We cannot forgive very easily. We look for revenge. We talk bad. We are jealous. We gossip. We backbite about people and all that. All that is carnal mind. It cannot happen. You have to change. You have to stop doing that. You have to stop thinking like that. You have to have Jesus in your life and in your tongue and in your heart. You have to deal with that because you will break up relationships. And people in Psalm 64, they will go away from you. People will leave you alone because of the way you talk and the way you think. That happens. And we were just with hundreds of people in Hungary where we are making some of these points as firmly as we can. We have to forgive. We have to leave it alone. We have to change our way. We have to be spirit-filled people and learn how to live that. And by the way, I'm not saying something that, you know, only very gifted people do this or only very special spiritual people do this. No, I'm talking about you and me. This is for us. This is for the regular common guy and gal that has difficulties. And I'm saying when we have Jesus in our life and he teaches us something, then follow him. And you will find that God will be blessing your life. He will be helping you and life will be easier. It's hard, but this life is easier. It's a spirit-filled life with love and joy and peace in your heart. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the listening ears and what you can teach us in these coming weeks and months and years. And one day we will stand before you and you will make known to us and it'll become clear the reality of who you are, what you have done by your grace and the great love that you have for us and that our life had value. Was not in vain. Teach us some of these lessons, Lord, in Jesus' name. Then anyone not yet a believer in Christ, or maybe you are, but you haven't made any major decision about it. You kind of are just cruising. Then today, make it a day where you say, today I'm asking Christ into my heart. I'm going to surrender well, all that I have, and bring it before him and trust him. And the Spirit will fill you. Spirit will teach you. Spirit will show you that Jesus Christ is alive and he is the answer for life. Amen.
Wow, what a message. I just love that message. I think I could hear that again. We need a tree. We need a tree more than we know it in our life. And how God has just this perfect plan for us. So we'll do the benediction and we can meditate on that the rest of this week. Lord Jesus, bless this beautiful, amazing audience, this beautiful body. Father, thank you for teaching us today. You have taught us today. Bless our day. Bless our week. Help us to remember this. Study it. Ponder it. Bring it home, Father, in our lives. Keep us safe on the roads today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.